As the last full week of October gets started, so does another 10-minute installment of our show. I'm Carl Azus, happy to see you this Monday. It has been said that the United States has the most violent weather in the world, and while they may not all be destructive, some pretty significant weather events are expected across the country this week. We'll go from west to east. First, rapidly dropping pressure and a river of precipitation were expected for the start of the week in California. You might think this would be good news for areas recently scorched by wildfires. However,
What's unique about this is it's pulling in moisture from the Pacific Ocean from an atmospheric river, and that is going to translate to very heavy rain and very heavy snowfall across the mountainous regions. Future forecast radar lighting up like a Christmas tree with plenty of precipitation taking place, but of particular danger is the debris flows from the recent burn scars across the region. Take Santa Barbara County, for instance. The LSL burn scar actually under a mandatory evacuation order. That means there is a direct threat to life and property within that area because simply the ground cannot handle that amount of rain, considering that we've got a scorched earth, and with that mountainous terrain across the region means debris flows are possible. By the way, debris flows can pick up rocks, mud, trees, and they travel anywhere from 30 to 50 miles per hour, so they can cause significant damage. So you'll want to heed evacuation warnings in your community if you do have them.
Moving inland over the Sierra Nevada and Cascade mountain ranges, this atmospheric river was expected to dump feet of snow on Sunday and Monday. Weather officials said that could lead to road closures, with driving conditions expected to be impossible anyway. And over the central part of the U.S., as a cold front from the north bulldozes into warmer, humid air, officials said severe weather was possible early this week in Arkansas, Illinois, Indiana, and Missouri. That could include everything from damaging winds and hail to tornadoes. The front will drag down temperatures as it moves east, and meteorologists say if strong northeasterly winds develop over the American Northeast, the type of storm called a nor'easter is possible. They're not sure yet if this will happen, but they said on Sunday that some computer models were showing potential for coastal flooding and as much as half a foot of rain for New England. That could take place about midweek. Everything weather-related would coincide with peak fall foliage season in the U.S. CNN 10 contributor Tyler Malden explains why the leaves change color.
This is the best time of the year, Carl. Cooler temperatures, the holidays, pumpkin spice, everything, and oh yeah, fall colors. But why do the leaves change color? To understand why, think back to photosynthesis and chlorophyll. Photosynthesis is the process by which plants or trees create their own energy through sunlight, water, and carbon dioxide. Chlorophyll is a key component of this process and is the reason leaves have a green color. Photosynthesis comes to a halt as the amount of daylight shortens during fall, telling the tree to shut down for winter. The chlorophyll breaks down when this happens. The colors that come next depend on the temperature and the amount of rain received. Days that are sunny and warm, but not too hot, and nights that are cool, but not freezing, are ideal for vibrant colors. The cherry on top is a mild drought at the onset of fall after having a great growing season. If these factors aren't spot on, the colors will be duller. If the temperature and drought are too extreme, the leaves could possibly just turn brown and fall off before ever changing color. We typically see fall color at its best in the mountains and northern states in the month of October. It slowly makes its way south, and southern states see their peak color throughout November. Fingers crossed, Carl, this is a great fall color season for you and your Instagram.
10-second trivia. What was the name of the historic satellite launched in 1957? Mir, Apollo, Mercury, or Sputnik? The first object people ever put into space was named Sputnik 1. is going to be a major shortage of toy products this year. That's what the CEO of a large toy company told CNN in August, and problems with the international supply of goods have gotten worse since then. Toy executives say Americans need to do their Christmas and holiday shopping early and to be prepared for higher prices. One big factor in this is that only 15% of the toys sold in America are actually made in America. Companies and stores depend on shipping to stock their shelves, and with multiple disruptions in the supply chain, planning for the shopping season is an uncertain process at best.
Staff at this New York City toy store had no idea they'd be getting this delivery of books and toys today, or that all of the orders would be incomplete.
We're placing orders every day, constantly, as many as we can think of. One of my bigger companies, I ordered a huge order in February, and it just shipped a couple weeks ago. So it's so hard to determine when and if things are going to come.
The enticing displays here mask an unprecedented inventory problem. Many items running out.
I have three of these. There's no more downstairs. I have three of these. There's no more downstairs.
Others in oversupply.
I've got about 20 times that in my basement.
And behind the scenes,
this is what my very messy office looks like, with shipping out to be done and shipping in to process.
Christina Clark says she was warned by suppliers to stockpile ahead of the holidays. 85% of all toys sold in the U.S. are imported, according to the Toy Association. And right now, the ships that carry them, mostly from Asia, are stuck in a giant maritime traffic jam, the result of surging demand as economies recover and ongoing COVID-related disruptions.
Well, it's not just a shipping crisis affecting the toy supply chain. There's also port congestion piling on and a shortage of truck drivers to get them to their destination.
That combination of online shopping, COVID shutdowns, resupplying things that were out of stock, and the holidays together have all combined into what, you know, really is a crisis of shipping and a crisis of consumer products.
And it's sending costs skyrocketing.
The average shipping container has gone from somewhere right around $3,000 to around $24,000 on the spot market.
Christina Clark says many of her suppliers have raised prices twice this year, and some are now tacking on a shipping surcharge, most of which she isn't passing on to her customers.
Financially, how is this affecting you?
Well, I just have a lot of debt. I have a huge amount of debt and hope that it will be covered.
Her message to customers, start your holiday shopping now. This will not be over by Christmas. Claire Sebastian, CNN, New York.
Near a Spanish territory that borders the nation of Morocco, fishermen recently hauled in this, a massive sunfish that had gotten tangled in fishing nets. Before setting it free, they measured it at 10.5 feet long and 9.5 feet wide, and scientists estimate it weighs around 4,400 pounds. They couldn't find out for sure because the scale on the fishing boat was in danger of breaking. Sunfish are believed to be the largest bony fish on the planet, but there's a lot that scientists just don't know about them. So would you say that was a fish story? That the fishermen were just fishing for attention to hook, catch, and free you into an ocean of wonder? That's not what they're all. A trout and the grouper of pictures prove they're in the swim and making waves. The only thing fishy about it was that it was a fin chance for us to leave you awash in a sea of puns. Despite the fish, today's show is for the birds, the rice birds. That's the mascot of Stuttgart High School in Stuttgart, Arkansas. We're glad you Arkansas today's show, and we hope to see everyone again tomorrow. I'm Carl Azus.